Welcome to Redeemed, a podcast by Pastor Wes Gunther of the Cedar Hill Baptist Church in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. Hi, welcome to the podcast today. This is Pastor Wes Gunther, and today, while many of our podcast episodes I've taken segments of lessons I've taught or things I've preached from the pulpit at Cedar Hill Baptist Church, today is an opportunity to just sit down, just me and you, just with a microphone and some notes in the sound booth and be able to record some things just very specifically for the podcast, things that might be helpful to you. And today I wanted to start with this one, and that's dealing with anxiety. The Bible gives us some very clear commands and instructions on dealing with anxiety. I don't know that they're always the easiest thing to implement. And so I want to give you some points today, 5 points of things to implement, biblically speaking, on how to deal with anxiety. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so how do I do that? That's the question today. How do I cast my care upon Jesus? Literally, I'm faced with a situation. I'm faced with a crisis. I'm faced with a problem. Now, how do I very literally in my life take that problem and give it to Jesus? How do I do that and not deal with the anxiety of it? Let me deal with a couple definitions so that we're all on the same page. First of all, is the problem of worry. And worry is when we begin to fear things that we may imagine that could happen. Worry is most often concerning things that have not happened yet, but we imagine they could. Maybe we see things lining up that they could. Maybe there's a situation or a meeting coming that we're very concerned about. We're not sure how it's going to go. And so we worry and begin to dwell on and think about all the different variables and what could happen. That's worry, as opposed to fear. Fear is when we're very deeply concerned and we have no control over an event. It's usually something that is happening, something that is upon us. If we come across a bear in the woods, we may be fearful because now we have to figure out how to get out of this situation. I'm not worrying about it. I'm faced with a real problem. The disciples in the Gospels became fearful when they were on the boat and the boat was overtaken by a storm. So it was a real problem. They weren't imagining that it could happen. It was happening. And they were very fearful because they saw the outcome looking very perilous. So worry and fear. The third word we're going to give a definition to is that word anxiety. And anxiety is how we feel in the midst of both worry and or fear. The anxiety is our feeling. Anxiety is when we start to be concerned. We can't sleep. Maybe we're tight in the chest. Maybe we can't eat. Maybe our mouth is dry. Maybe all of those things. We're dwelling on it. We're fretting over it. That's because of the anxiety. And the anxiety is what we begin to feel when we're worrying about something or we are very fearful of something. So the question is today, biblically speaking, how do I give that anxiety over to the Lord? How do I deal with that in a biblical way? And so I have 5 points. Now, these are not 5 steps. I think all 5 of these need to be done simultaneously, as much as realistically speaking. These are all 5 things we should implement together. Number one, we need to spend time in the Word of God, because it is in the Word of God that God talks to me. That's how I hear him. That's how I get his advice. All right, so number one, I need to open the Bible and I need to begin to read passages of Scripture that will help me deal with my problem, with my anxiety, with my worry, with my fear. Oftentimes, we start in the book of Psalms for that. And as the psalmist, many of which were written by David, of course, as he writes, He's talking about problems he's facing, enemies upon him, friends who have abandoned him, family issues, sin that's in his life that has caused problems. All those things have added to his anxiety. And throughout the psalm, David in particular is very good at outlining his problem, talking about how God is a solution, and ending the psalm in an upbeat or praiseful manner. So the book of Psalms is a great place to start. So number one, I need to spend time in the Word. That's where God talks to me. Number two is the opposite of that. I need to spend time in prayer. That's the avenue God gave me to talk to Him. So that's my communication with God. Begin to talk. Every therapist, every counselor, every minister is going to say that one of the best things that you can do when dealing with a problem, with dealing with worry, fear, and then the anxiety that goes with it, is to talk about it. Talk it out. People that are often going through marriage issues, maybe they're heading for a divorce, or their spouse just filed for a divorce. Well, they want to come and talk. They don't even need advice. Most often they know the right thing to do or not do in the situation. Sometimes they need some advice or counsel in a particular way, but most of the time they just want to talk. They want someone to listen to them. They want a friend that'll hear them out because of the problems that they're facing. So I need to spend time in prayer. That's me talking to God. I think it is ideal. I have found it often ideal, and we see this often in Scripture, to find a place where you can do this praying out loud. But we don't have to pray out loud. We know that when we pray internally, God hears us. We have biblical record of that. But it's best, I think, to pray it out loud. When we're praying out loud, we are hearing it as well. And I think we stay much more focused on topic. So just like when we're dealing with anxiety, and maybe late at night when we can't sleep, we're running over these things in our head, and it's becoming something that we just dwell on, and we can't get rest, and we can't get relief from, as opposed to what happens when we go in and sit down and talk to somebody, talking to a friend, talking to our pastor, talking to a counselor. When we have that opportunity to talk it out, our thoughts become a little more organized and formulated. So, number one, open the Word of God and see what God has to say to me. Number two, sit down in prayer and talk it out with God. Those are the two avenues we have. They seem very matter of fact, or like, oh, those would be, of course, the first two things we would mention in a Christian circle. Hey, open the Bible and pray about it. Well, no, those are the two most important. To be able to have communication with God where we can talk to Him, and then His avenue of how He talks to us. Those two are vitally important. Number three, change what you're thinking about. We can do that. We have to force ourselves to do that, but we can do that. The Bible gives us a list. In the Bible, it's often an unusual list of all the whatsoevers that are listed together. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. There's a long list of those. I just abbreviated. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The Bible tells us very specifically how to think and what to think on. We have to be thinking on the right things. And so I need to think about things that are true, not things that are supposition, not things that might be, not things that could be. I have to think about things that are absolutely true, things that I know to be fact. I think it's good for us to completely deviate from the problem and think about something else. That's that law of substitution. We do that in a number of different areas where, you know, if we need to, get away from a bad food, a bad habit, a bad addiction, we need to substitute something else in its time and place. We need to do that with these thoughts that are causing anxiety in our lives. We need to replace those thoughts with things that are lovely, things that are true, things that are pure. Look through some photos of great times from the past. do something that's wholesome, go to a baseball game, you know, something that would change your attention from the problem and put it onto something that's more wholesome, that's more helpful, and that's not as harmful as the anxiety can be. That was number three. Number four, remember this confidence that God is in control. I think we can learn a great lesson from the what's been coined now this last decade or so, the Red Sea Rules. It's a little book by Robert Morgan that's extremely helpful, and it encapsulates this thought. When the Israelites left Egypt after the plagues, Moses led them from Egypt. He led them right to the Red Sea, not around the Red Sea, right to the shore of the Red Sea. And when they hit the Red Sea, the Egyptian army was right on their heels. So now they're boxed in. And if we look at the geography of where it was that history and theologians believe that they crossed, there's a cliff on one side, the Red Sea on the other, and the Egyptian army closing fast behind them. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? They're boxed in. The anxiety and the worry and the fear were realized. There was a real problem. And here's the lesson. If God brings you to it, God can bring you through it. God brought them to the Red Sea. They went exactly the way he wanted them to go and right to the spot he wanted them to go. God was going to miraculously open that Red Sea and provide a way through. They couldn't foresee that. They had no idea. That seemed like the least likely possibility to them. And yet God provided. If God brings you to it, God can bring you through it. And that's the confidence we need to have that God is always in control. He wants what is best for me. He loves me always. And this very important truth, God is always good. Always. So he wants what's best for me. He's not trying to hurt me. He's not trying to harm me. There may be things, difficult times I need to go through and lessons to be learned. But God wants what's best for me. And he is in control. And so to have that confidence in the midst of a situation is extremely important. And then last of all, I believe we still need to be very conscientious of my actions, of my responses. Never to be careless. Right? We don't say all these things just to be flippant about our situation, but not to be worried about it either. To put the anxiety aside and be very, very determined in my response, in my actions, in the words that I say, in the way that I approach things. Very thoughtful in the way that I do that. So, real quick, just to summarize, when we're overcome with anxiety and worry and fear, the Bible tells us, cast all your care upon him. So how do we do that? And these five things that I think we need to do together, again, not in steps, but simultaneously, is spend time in the word, that's God talking to me. Spend time in prayer, that's me talking to God. Change the things that I'm thinking about very systematically and very intentionally. Think on things that are wholesome and helpful. Remain confident that he is always in control. He wants what's best for me. He brought me to this. He can bring me through this. And then be very conscientious and very clear about our responses and the things that we do. I hope those steps are helpful to you. I hope as we come up against difficulties in life, and they'll come, of course, that we understand we have some clearly defined opportunities within the principles of the Word of God on how to deal with these problems. Thank you for spending the time with me today. Thank you for listening to Redeemed. For more information, you can email us at pastorwesgunther@gmail.com. Thank you.